music, news, entertainment. It's all right here. This is the Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, it's Kelly, and welcome to the show. We're looking forward to welcoming the dynamic duo known as Elijah Woods and Jamie Fine, who've been experiencing amazing success since appearing on CTV's The Launch earlier this year. We're also excited to welcome Calgary, Canada's Deanne Matley, a fantastic jazz vocalist whose most recent release is called Because I Loved. We're also going to feature some new music from Bebe Rexha and Demi Lovato. But first, let's get some octane from some classic Whitney Houston. It's How Will I Know on The Kelly Alexander Show.
We'll be right back.
Find us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Click on KellyAlexanderShow.com.
From her album Good Girl Gone Bad, it's Rihanna with Shut Up and Drive on The Kelly Alexander Show. Hey, it's Kelly, and I'm super excited to welcome these next two artists to the program. I've been a fan of their work from the minute I heard their hit song, Ain't Easy. Elijah Woods and Jamie Fine became breakout stars on CTV's The Launch with the song Ain't Easy, which has gotten support right across the country and picked up over 8 million streams worldwide. Elijah and Jamie, welcome to The Kelly Alexander Show.
Hey, thank you so much for having us.
So for people who don't know, can you give a brief explanation as to how you guys came together as a musical duo?
Yeah, so we were actually both attending Algonquin College back in Ottawa. So Eli was attending the Music Industry Arts program, and I was in culinary school. And our guitarist now actually recorded me on an iPhone speaker without me knowing and showed Elijah. And obviously he was like, oh my God, who's this amazing, incredible, charming, beautiful singer? Just kidding.
Those exact words.
Yeah, we'll let Elijah take it from there.
Yeah, no, I kind of freaked out. I think we've all heard that infectious quality of Jamie's voice. Once you hear it, you can't sort of unhear it. And yeah, I kind of freaked out and I dragged her into the studio that week and we recorded a few songs and it was just kind of like this instant connection. We both sort of complement each other in ways that we hadn't worked with anyone else in the past and it was great. And fast forward 4 years and Ain't Easy happened.
Now talk to us a little bit. First of all, I want to just ask each of you the compliment question, meaning what is it about each of you? And I'll start with Elijah. What is it about Jamie that makes the best come out in you?
I think Jamie pushes me in a lot of ways. She kind of expects a lot without saying anything. And I think it allows me to sort of flourish in ways that I didn't know I could. She kind of pulls stuff out of me that I didn't know I had in there in terms of production or lyrics or whatever it is. And it's pretty rare that you have someone that compliments your musicality as well as she does. And she does that with absolutely everyone. So she's just she's a phenomenal writer and a phenomenal person. And it kind of just pulls the best out of people.
And Jamie, what's the deal about Eli for you?
I mean, obviously, Elijah does the same for me. What's nice is that you kind of wake up after 4 years of working together, realizing how hard he's pushed me and how much he's made me grow kind of in the most organic, beautiful way possible, whether that's just pushing me to hit notes that I've never, hit before. And that's in a very literal sense, or just like making me feel things and making me explore. One of the things I always say about Elijah is that he's a perfect producer in the sense that he controls my emotion enough so that I'm able to perform at all or write at all so I can focus, but he's also able to support it enough so that I can actually feel what I'm supposed to feel. And that's a quality that few producers have, because it's a quality that you have as a person, not necessarily in your career. And that's definitely helped me along the way.
Break down how you guys work together. Like, does Eli come up with, the melody first or the beats first, and then you write around it? Like, and does it change with each song?
It really depends. I think it's sort of a song by song basis. Sometimes Jamie will just send me a vocal melody idea or like a few lines of a song, and then I'll kind of start production around that, or vice versa. I'll send her a production idea with like a lyrical idea or a melody idea or something. But it kind of starts anywhere. We kind of find inspiration from strange things. So it's it really depends by the song. There's definitely no formula for it. It's just pure inspiration. But yeah, Jamie and I, like we write independently and kind of collaborate. And then we also write together sometimes. And it there's no secret sauce. It's just like whatever works that day.
Now, we're going to talk about your experience on the launch in just a sec. But I want to go back to the fact that you guys mentioned that you were together for 4 years before all of this, magical carpet ride started. So talk to us a little bit about those 4 years. And were there times where you were, maybe considering giving up or what have you? Because obviously it's a tough slog, that's for sure, to get noticed.
Yeah, I mean, it is really difficult, especially being, Canadian artist and with the music that we were making, we felt it was such an international sound that it definitely got infuriating at some points. We started out as writers, and so we actually wrote for other artists before we even decided to do this artist route. And so actually for me, we were driving to who is now our manager. We were driving in his place for a meeting. And I was saying to Elijah in the car, I was like, this is all I got in me, man. Like, if this doesn't work out, like, we had just been promised so many things. Our music was being shopped, but, people would say they wanted it and held on to it for a year and then never actually ended up picking up. So it was so brutal. And I was like, this is all I got in me. This is it. And we actually went, and my manager was like, you know what? Like, you guys are so great. You guys need to actually put out the music yourselves and think about doing the artist route. And then quite literally, I think probably 4 months after that, the launch reached out to us. And we started putting out music, and it snowballed from there into this kind of beautiful process, and it just went crazy pretty quickly.
Joining us on the show is Elijah Woods and Jamie Fine. Make sure you follow them on their social media at EWXJF on Instagram and EWXJF Music on Twitter. So the launch. So tell us how that all transpired. Like, so you said they reached out to you?
Yeah. So the A&R team at the launch reached out to us, I believe, in January 2017. And from there, we just got some more information about it. And initially, Jamie and I were kind of like, all right, TV show, not really the look for us. I think there's this strange connotation around music television, especially for the artist side of things, that it's more about either the host or it's more about the drama and it's never about the music. And Jamie and I actually like formally declined the launch about 4 times. And then we like went back and forth with the A&R team, and they did a phenomenal job of just explaining what the show was about. And eventually we were like, all right, yeah, we're going to give this a try, because at the end of the day, what they kept saying and what it boiled down to was that it was about the music and about the artist experience. And they wanted to make it as authentic and behind the scenes as possible, which is ultimately like what Jamie and I do every day. So having that I guess comfort sort of helped us move forward with the launch decision. And it was a great decision for us. But diving into it, it was one of those things where you're kind of like, okay, well, this could go one of two ways. But what it came down to for us in the end was, it's 2018 and you have to do something to cut through the noise. There's so much material and there's so much great material out that not everyone who's writing good music gets noticed. You need something that gives you a competitive advantage in order to move forward in today's music scene.
Jamie, talk to us about the first couple of days or first, you know, time like on set and behind the scenes. Like, how did that work out and how did you guys get paired with Ryan Tedder, I should say?
Oh, yeah, well, we didn't know until about quite literally 20 seconds before they brought us into the audition room. They tried to keep it a surprise. We did some major CSIS stalking. And Ryan was on tour, actually, with his band, One Republic. And the only 3 days that he wasn't playing a show were the days that we were filming the launch. So we were like, oh, 100% we have him. And we were super excited. I wish we had a more exciting way to tell it. But, you know, we were really calm throughout the entire experience, just because in large part that was due to the mentors, how calm they were. But that's what we do on a daily basis, right? Is we make music and we sing music, and it just because you're doing it in front of people who are, you know, iconic, it doesn't necessarily take away your ability to do it. It's for most people, it's nerves in their head. So for us, we tried to eliminate that as much as possible and just did what we do every day.
Now, we have an international audience that's listening to this show. So for people who wouldn't have been able to catch, you know, your moment, I'll say, on the launch and how that all went down, can you explain the part about how you guys switched things up for the song that Ryan Tedder gave you?
Yeah. So actually, it's funny because when we initially agreed to the show, we had no idea what the format looked like. Like we didn't know if we could bring our own song, if we were co-writing something, if Ryan had a demo, like what was going on. So we walked into that studio sort of blind. And we just did what we do in every session. Jamie and I always love to come into studio sessions, whether it's just the two of us or whether it's us and another person, with as much material and as much prep as we possibly can. Just that way we always come out with something that sort of everyone's happy with. So we walked into that session and we were talking to Ryan prior to, I think, the cameras sort of filming and everything, just about how the song was a little bit too pop for us. I mean, I think he was the first one to recognize that. So walking that session, we literally just took all of our ideas and we threw them against the wall. And I'm always of the opinion that if you take everything and throw it against the wall, you just kind of see what sticks by the end of the session. And generally that's the best possible product. And that didn't have to be my ideas and it didn't have to be Ryan's. It was just about the best possible track.
And again, for people who are listening overseas, how much of a difference is there from the original pop version? Let's say I'll call it the poppy version as opposed to what you guys actually ended up releasing.
It's quite different. You look at the first one and it's a little bit more airy. Ours gets a little bit grittier. Definitely has a little bit more of a dance hall vibe to it.
And Jamie, talk to us about the vocals, because first of all, I heard the song first, of course, before I saw what you guys look like. And then I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe that voice is coming. Like, it's like when you meet like a traffic reporter and you can't believe that's the voice that you hear get you through traffic every day. And so it's fantastic. Yeah. Like, I would have never imagined in a million years, like, you just sound awesome. And it seems like you're pulling from like so many different, I guess, areas of your life and just inspirations to get the voice that you have. When you got that song, Ain't Easy, how much of your stamp did you know that you were going to be able to put on it?
I mean, we listened to that hook, that chorus, and we were like, oh yeah, this is going to be a good track. And the fact that Ryan opened the door for collaboration, that's what really gave us the confidence to go back and really write how we're used to writing and bring those ideas to the table. I am such a little gangster at heart. It's hilarious. I'm such a sucker for hip hop and dance hall music is pretty much the only thing on my playlist. So I definitely wanted to bring that to the table and get gritty with it, especially because it's not only because it's music I'm passionate about, but it's also such a huge part of music that you listen to on the radio, especially internationally, not just in Canada. So that's definitely something that was super important to us to do. And we're glad that we could achieve that. But definitely wanted to add a gangster flair to it, if you will.
Well, I high five you all kinds because I think the track is just fantastic. I cannot get enough of it. So next thing I wanted to ask you about is, you know, what's happening now? Because obviously so much excitement over that track. I know you guys were, you know, have been everywhere across Canada at every single event going. What's next? I think I've seen on your Twitter accounts that you're back in studio, but what's the plan coming up?
Yeah. As we said, Jamie and I are writers first, so we have so much music ready to go. There'll definitely be an album on the way for the next, within the next little while, and a second single coming out at some point. But it's just about, we have the phenomenal team behind us now, and they're awesome with Scott and Big Machine and Republic as well as picking Ain't Easy up in the States. So we are we're moving forward with supporting the single as much as possible. But on the music front, we have lots more coming. We have tons of tour dates festival dates rather in the summer. All across Canada. So we're playing lots of shows, a bunch in Ottawa, one in Calgary, one in Edmonton, one in Vancouver, Quebec. We're playing a bunch of really great festival dates. We're just trying to support the show and we're trying to support the single and trying to basically promote as much as possible and putting a face to the name, as you said, because I think it's funny when a lot of people know the song, but they don't know us necessarily because the song's doing so well. But and then they see us and they're like, who are these weirdos? And they're like, oh, okay, like you guys are all right.
You guys are more than all right. You guys definitely have a swagger. So I think keep going with that. And I wanted to ask you, because I'm a huge fan of songwriters, like big time. I don't know if you've heard of the podcast And the Writer Is in the States, but I listen to that like religiously. And so they get to interview, like they've had Ryan on the show. They've had Nick Jonas. They've had Justin Tranter. Like the list goes on and on. So I'm like super, you know, addicted to all these. And even Simon Wilcox, who I know is Canadian. So I wanted to ask, as Canadian writers, are you intending on, you know, maybe heading to the States at some point? Do you think you can do what you need to do out of Canada? Like I know I've interviewed Majid Jordan on the show before and they sort of planted to do their magic from here, even though I know they have a lot of American fans as well. So are we going to keep you guys in Canada?
We really like you. You know, we joke all the time that we're from Ottawa and we struggle so much getting out of there just because it's such a home for us. We're super excited. We love going to the States. You know, we love with certain parts of the States. I'll clarify. We love LA. We love New York. So we're super excited to kind of travel there and to work with talent that is there. But we'd love to be able, you know, in short, we'd love to be able to keep doing what we're doing from here and just travel whenever we need to.
And how do you feel the Canadian music scene is going? Because now you guys are obviously a part of it. You were part of it for the 4 years before the launch, but now everybody knows who you are. Have you met some other Canadian artists that you want to collaborate with? Because I think there's such a great scene here that's up and coming, especially in the pop R&B world, even EDM. So how do you guys feel about where things stand in Canada, you know, songwriter-wise and artist-wise?
I think Canada's in a really unique position. If you sort of look at like music trends over the last maybe 30 years or something, Canada's monopolizing the music industry right now. Like a lot of the top artists in the world are from Canada, and it's pretty amazing to see. I think it was always sort of a little sister sort of thing to the US, but I think we're really holding our own now. Specifically in Canada, we love like that Loud Luxury track, and I know those guys a little bit just through some friends, and they're really killing it. We have a bunch of other like little co-writes and stuff like that with a few artists that we're thinking about, but nothing too set in stone at the moment.
And before I let you go, I have to ask this because I want to put this out in the universe for you. If you had your choice of collaborating with anyone, whether it's another producer or an artist, who would it be and why?
Oh man, anybody who knows me really well knows I'm obsessed with Cher.
Okay,
it's an unhealthy. So I would love to write with her and just sing with her, get the opportunity to. We both love Adele, and Eli can definitely talk to his love for Billie Eilish, who's a definitely an up-and-comer in the States.
Fantastic. And I wanted to ask you, because I know you've been, you know, for sure bombarded by people across Canada, I'm sure the world now, who are falling in love with you guys. What's the coolest message of support that you've received apart from your family and friends? Like, who's reached out to you industry-wise that you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they love us or like us?
I have this is just too sad for radio, but I'll just tell you anyway. Actually, we were just at CTV Upfronts, or Bell Media Upfronts, and we were on the kind of the dance floor. There was a great band playing, and there was a woman that came up to me, and she had said that actually one of her best friends was dying of cancer, which was just super heavy. But she said that Ain't Easy is their girl group of friends' favorite song. And that, she, you know, she can't go out for very long anymore. But as soon as they get in the car, they blast Ain't Easy on repeat and they just sing it. And they just, I think, went to Las Vegas and just played Ain't Easy the entire way there. And like stories like that, like you don't see them coming very often. And then somebody tells you, and it's obviously the most beautiful kind of feeling in the world to know that your music is giving somebody great memories. And at the end of it, she just said, thank you for, you know, the memories that all of us are going to keep with us forever. And we were like, oh God, we wanted to cry. For
it literally broke my heart. I was like, oh my God, it's beautiful.
Wow. That is beautiful. Well, guys, I love you. And I said just before we started recording that I fangirl all kinds. So I can't wait. I hope you let me meet you in person one day. And I just want to wish you the best of luck. You're welcome back on the show anytime and keep doing what you're doing. Cause like you can tell when you see you guys on stage, when you hear the music that you're producing, that it's very authentic. And I think that's what's going to carry you to the next place, because people believe in what you're doing.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
That's Elijah Woods and Jamie Fine. Make sure to follow them on their social media at EWXJF on Instagram and at EWXJF Music on Twitter. And here they are with their hit song, Ain't Easy, on the Kelly Alexander Show.
Baby, you're all I need. baby, you're all I see. Missing the touch of your skin, I want it, babe. I'm on my knees, feeling you touching me. Baby, it's bittersweet. Cause I want it bad, but I never thought your touch would make me bleed. All you do is talk, what you say, say, say. Wanna walk away, baby, wait, wait, wait. Sick of all the games, girl, you play, play, play. But baby, loving you ain't easy. It's fire and then it's rain. It's fire and then it's rain. I say loving you ain't easy. Baby, you're what I crave. And I wouldn't wanna waste it. Late at night when I need more you. All damn night gonna need more you. Take me away. Take me away. I say loving you ain't easy. But you're doing it just the same. You're doing it just the same. Whoa, oh, 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 oh. Just need a little taste. Baby, that's all it takes. Loving the touch of your body, baby. Bring it over here. Loving it higher stays. Loving until we hate. Pushing until we break out. Oh, your heart don't disappear. Loving you ain't easy. It's fire and then it's rain. It's fire and then it's rain. I said loving you.
Alexander Show, bringing you fresh sounds like this.
Say everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright.
a chat with Canadian jazz artist Deanne Matley about her latest album, Because I Loved. But first, new music from Demi Lovato. It's called Sober.
I got no excuses for all of these goodbyes. Call me when it's over, 'cause I'm dying inside. Wake me when the shakes are gone and the cold sweats disappear. Call me when it's over and myself has reappeared. I don't know why I do it every time. It's only when I'm lonely. Sometimes I just wanna cave and I don't wanna fight. I try and I try and I try and I try and I try. Just hold me, I'm lonely. Mama, I'm so sorry, I'm not sober anymore. And Daddy, please forgive me for the drinks spilled on the floor. To the ones who never left me, we've been down this road before. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to my future love, for the man that left my bed, for making love the way I saved for you inside my head. And I'm sorry for the fans I lost, who watched me fall again. I wanna be a role model, but I'm only human. I don't know why I do it every time. It's only when I'm lonely. Sometimes I just wanna cave and I don't wanna fight. I try and I try and I try and I try and I try. Just hold me, I'm lonely. Mama, I'm so sorry, I'm not so. Forgive me for the drinks spilled on the floor. To the ones who never left me, we've been down this road before. I'm so sorry, I'm not sober anymore. I'm not sober anymore. Promise I'll get help. It wasn't my intention. I'm sorry to myself.
Demi Lovato with Sober, a very emotional song for Demi, who's been very honest about what's been going on in her life these last several months. And it sounds like she is back on track. And of course, we wish her all the best as she continues to move forward with her sobriety. Hey, it's Kelly Alexander. And right now we welcome Calgary jazz vocalist Deanne Matley to the show. We've got lots to talk about, especially regarding her new album, Because I Loved, which is a mixture of original music and well thought out covers. Deanne, welcome to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Can you start off by letting us know how your musical journey in jazz actually got started?
Absolutely. So where it started was actually in high school. I discovered the jazz choir and had been singing in choirs my whole life. And I remember seeing the jazz choir and going, oh, this is cool. And so I was like, well, I'm going to be a part of this. And so I had to audition, and at the time the director said, you need to learn these two tunes. And so I had to go and pick my very first jazz album, and I grabbed Ella Fitzgerald, one of her albums. And that was how I was first introduced to Ella. And so I listened to the album, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. I learned my tune, I went and auditioned, and I slayed it. And I, you know, got a spot in the choir. And that's kind of where the journey started. I never really listened to jazz before. I mean, I did jazz dance, but that didn't mean anything in regards to, you know, the music of jazz per se.
And yeah, so that's how it started. And then after I graduated high school, I decided I wanted to continue to learn more about jazz. So I started doing workshops, et cetera. And next thing you know, I was doing gigs. So that's kind of where it started.
Now, talk to us as well. I know you said jazz sort of came into your life, you know, later in high school. Who did you mm-hmm. listen to before that? And do you find that maybe some of those earlier influences, even if they were in, let's say, pop, jazz, or rock, have sort of seeped into how you create your jazz music?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm a big Oasis fan. I think I listen to a lot of punk.
That's awesome.
I know, right? Indie rock. I think I sometimes choose tunes of theirs to redo in my music. And as far as like stylization goes, probably not per se, but I still listen to all that stuff today, and I'm a big fan of like Coldplay and like I said, Oasis. And so I also just love Rufus Wainwright as well. So it's kind of like there's a mix of things that I listen to. But before I started listening to jazz, it was pretty much kind of, and dance music, you know, I had it rocking in my car with the bass up high. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's kind of, I never really listened to anything else.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wanted to ask this. I'm getting, so you know how sometimes you perceive things to be a certain way, and so you don't think that maybe this is an option. And I will fully admit that I always view sort of Montreal as, you know, the jazz place to be in Canada, also with Toronto and probably some of Vancouver. But until recently, I would have never sort of put Calgary and jazz music in the same sentence. But I'm learning now that there is like a vibrant, you know, Calgary jazz scene. So can you talk to us a little bit about that and how Calgary has influenced you musically?
Oh, for sure. It's definitely, you're not the only one. A lot of people are like, there's jazz out there? What?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, we actually just, there was just a summer jazz festival here in Calgary. And for me, because we had a school here, there was a jazz school at Mount Royal University, which is no longer unfortunately, but there are a lot of musicians in town and a lot of people that are passionate about jazz, and the scene has been vibrant for many, 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 many years. I sing regularly with a big band every 2 weeks that's been playing for like 17 years, and we have multiple big bands, and for me, I decided to go full-time music, I was also like, okay, great, this is awesome, I need to work. And so I went out on my own and created new jazz venues as well, and created new, I have a woman in jazz group. And so I think between myself and some other key players in town, you know, it's helping keep the jazz scene vibrant, as well as providing work for a lot of the musicians in town. And we do have a lot of jazz fans here. So our concerts and our gigs, like, therefore, I just hosted a vocal jazz jam last night. It was packed. So I think, there is this misconception, perhaps also because we're kind of branded as Cowtown, with the Calgary Stampede. And there was at one point a bunch of cows around the city. Like, it's a thing.
That's awesome.
So I think people kind of tie Calgary with country, as an example, which, you know, I don't really know much about the country scene. But there is definitely a vibrant jazz scene in Calgary.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the Calgary Women in Jazz? Because I read that on your website and I was really impressed, because I think that it's awesome that, you know, and I would say, you know, as a genre, women in jazz, I think, are celebrated probably more so than in other genres of music. But I still think, obviously, there's a ways to go. So talk to us about Calgary's Women in Jazz.
A few years ago, I sat down with a friend of mine who is actually now the president of Jazz YYC. And I said, we need a group of women that concerts and supports, you know, local charities, and just to know that we're a force. And she agreed. And so we kind of reached out to a bunch of our fellow singer friends and said, hey, do you want to do this? It's kind of like a support group as well. It's let's make sure we're working. Let's do workshops. Let's grow. Let's spread the word. And I think it's important, I mean, to celebrate everybody in music, of course, but it's important to celebrate women in music. And we also tied in many concerts with International Women's Day. And so we wanted to just make sure that we stayed connected as a group, so that, you know, we always knew that we had us no matter what, and that we always were going to do at least a couple of concerts a year. We're going to let Calgary know that there are these talented women in jazz in Calgary. And so that was, yeah, it was a brainchild a few years ago. And yes, we all feel it's important to celebrate women and celebrate music.
Joining us on the show is Calgary-based jazz artist Deanne Matley. Make sure to follow her on her social media. You can check that out and follow it by jumping onto her website, deannematley.com. Your latest album is called Because I Loved and was recorded in what I would say is one of Canada's hotspots for jazz right here in my hometown of Montreal. So can you tell us how you came to record the album here and if being in Montreal influenced the end result of the sound of the album?
Yes, absolutely. Montreal. I recorded my first four albums here in Calgary, and my manager actually lives in Montreal, and it had been a few years, and he said, "Do you need to record a new album?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, well, I'm going to ask Jim to produce it." I said, "Okay, who's Jim?" he's a drummer in town here, and I said, "Okay, cool." And that's how it started. And of course, Jim, being the producer, wanted to work with all Montreal players. And of course his studio, his dad's studio is in Montreal, Pointe-Claire. And so it was the natural step for me to go there. And I remember at one point I was going to bring a piano player from out west. And I said, no, it's important to do this on my own this time. Like for me, I'm very comfortable in the jazz scene in Calgary. I know all the guys and all the gals. We all hang, we all have a good time. And so for me to be inserted into a whole new city that I don't know a lot about with players I've never worked with, you know, it was uncomfortable, but I knew it was something I had to do for my next step of growth. And it was an amazing experience. And of course it influenced. I mean, I made several trips back and forth to Montreal and, you know, hung out with Renee and took in this beautiful city. I mean, I love being by the water. And the players were so generous and amazing and kind and supportive. And we had kind of developed, because the album was kind of almost a year and a half in the making. So I'd already developed, like I'd go to, like when I'd pop into Montreal, I'd be hitting the vocal jazz jam at Diaz and seeing the jam upstairs. So, you know, starting to mingle and meet people and be inspired by their music. And so it definitely inspired some of my writing. It was one of the greatest gifts for me to step out of my comfort zone and be like, okay, I can do this. And I want to go and I want to sit with new people, different players, different connections, and see what comes out of me. And what came out of me musically, emotionally, spiritually, all those things was incredible.
Do you think you will ever have to leave Calgary to further your career, like move, you know, whether it's to Toronto, Montreal, or even like New York or something?
That's very interesting that you're asking that. And the answer would be yes. It's now my time to now actually move out east and hang out east in Montreal and be close to all those places as well and continue to enjoy the scene. There are a lot of options for me as well in Quebec. I speak French as well, so it's nice to go there and connect with both languages. And it is a much bigger city, Montreal. Yeah.
And of course, we have the great Poutine.
Yeah. Yep. And I've really enjoyed the people that I've been meeting so far, and I feel really supported out east. It's been really great. So that's kind of, I remember sitting down with my parents because I have strong family roots here in Calgary, and I said, so I think I'm going to move to Montreal. And they're like, yeah. You think you should probably do that too.
Wow.
They like, you know, so
yeah, that's yeah, great, though, I mean, for the support.
Support, right? It's like, it's kind of in part of my, it's like kind of like now or never. Nothing is really holding me to Calgary anymore. So it's my time to be able to explore mobility, is what I'm calling it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I don't really want to ever say I'm moving anywhere because I have, people have access to me all over the world. But I definitely, like I said, I was just in Montreal. And when I'm there, I'm like, I feel like I'm home. It's very cool.
Great. Well, we welcome you to Montreal. And when you come, I can't wait to meet you in person.
Yes.
Fantastic. Now, I wanted to ask you about the inner workings of the album, because from the information that I got and sort of the research I've been doing, it sounds like, you know, you wrote several songs on the album, like new ones, and then it sounds like there's interpretations mm-hmm. and covers. So explain the inner workings of the album and how you came to those decisions.
This is probably one of the hardest parts and one of my most favorite parts. After the end of my marriage, I already knew I was going to be doing an album, but because I was like, holy crap, this was like really brutal experience, I decided that the album needed to be about relationships. So then I started, songs kind of got presented to me in a way, like my manager's great at A&R, and he'd be like, Dan, I think this song would really work for the album. And I'd listen to it and then I'd be like, oh my God, this is perfect. So I put it down into the spreadsheet. And as the songs kind of started to come in, because I wanted to have a bit of a base before I started really doing anything, there were songs that, like Open Arms, for example, was a song that I've always been wanting to do. I bought the sheet music for it years ago, and I remember going through the pile of music going, oh, yes, this is perfect for the album. It was like, this is its time. And so the songs kind of started to get slotted. And then with Jim and I, too, picking, it was a very cool experience. I'd send him tunes like, what do you think about this one? Do you think this one would work for the album? And he'd be like, no. He's like, yes, or there's better ones. And so I've never done this process before with an album. It's been really great. And then I went through each song, Kelly, and I attached a color to it, an emotion, a feeling, and how it ties in with relationships. And then once that was planned, I thought I had like the core. I think there was about 14 tunes. Including the ones I wrote, which came to me in the period. So they weren't songs I wrote before I started the journey. It was like, it was part of my journey. It was part of my processing. It was an actual, like I said, most of the tunes that I wrote are actually from a muse that I met in this journey. And so they all kind of tied in. And then I sent all that information to Paul, who was arranging the tunes, so that he had more to kind of go off of. I'm a very heart-centered artist, and you know, it's been about an album about relationships, and it's a jazz album, and so we got, how do we do all this? But then I created a vision for the album, and so everything just lined up right nicely underneath the vision. Everything had its connection, and then we went into the studio, so I had all this nice kind of underbelly work, you know, going into the studio, and the guys, the core guys, knew about everything too. So yes,
that was
a process like I've never done before. I took my time with it. It wasn't like, all right, let's throw an album together. Okay, boom, boom. This song's cool. And then, right. So it was an emotional journey as well. And so, yeah, it's been, man, I still can't believe that's how it went, but it did, and I'm very, very happy how it went. Sometimes it was challenging, though. I'm like, what do you mean you like this song?
And now that the album is out and, you know, these babies are out in the world, do you plan to tour, you know, not only across Canada, but maybe other parts of the world as well?
Absolutely, yeah. Right now, we're in the planning of the Canada tour in the fall. I am heading to France in August and doing a festival there. So after the Canadian tour, I definitely would like to be, you know, continuing that journey and heading into Europe. And that's definitely the plan. Like, I'm going to get Canada focused first and start getting the buzz created throughout, which, I mean, there's been great buzz across the country already. And of course, now it's like, all right, okay, now I got to put a face to a name. And definitely the plan is to hit Europe or anywhere that wants to, you know, I've got fans in Japan now. They're like, oh my gosh, I love your music, you know? So it's like, hey, maybe Japan's the thing. I don't know. I did, you know, I'll maybe go back to Mongolia, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, hey guys,
that's
here's my new album. Awesome.
Fantastic.
Where the world will take us, hey?
Now, last question before I let you go. What advice would you like to give to up-and-coming jazz artists who are trying to, you know, figure themselves out? Because, you know, again, I think in Canada, jazz is supported quite a bit, but I think in many regards, it can be a bit of a lonely road trying to get yourself noticed. So what would you say to an up-and-coming jazz artist?
Well, my suggestion would be work hard. And it's not about you have to work hard to receive. I would say, get out there, learn the music, learn your craft, get your promo together, record some music so you can show people what you got. You know, go out there and hit the clubs, hit the open mics, hit the jams, network, build community. Community is really important. And work on, make sure you work on yourself as well. You know, work on self-esteem and work on the inner parts of who you are, because that's important as well. And create music that you love to create and not worry about what box you might have to put yourself in. It's, if it brings you joy, then you're in the right place.
Perfect. Deanne, it's been so special to speak to you. I really appreciate it. And of course, I can't wait to meet you in person when you finally make your way out here to Montreal full time. And congratulations on the new album.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you for your time.
That's Calgary jazz artist Deanne Matley. Again, make sure to follow her on her social media by hopping onto her website, deannematley.com. And now let's hear from Deanne. It's The Moon Is Made of Gold on The Kelly Alexander Show.
Because the sun went down, the night has wealth untold. Just keep watching and you soon will see, the moon is made of gold. Now the stars appear as they do, in heaven they unfold. Don't feel bad because the sun went down, the moon is made of gold. See how the shadows, enhanced by the light above, dance in the night as the breeze is high. And soon you will be asleep, into your dreams will creep visions of fairies flying through the sky. One by one your dreams will all come true, and magic you'll behold. Don't feel bad because the sun went down, the moon is made of gold. Keep watching and you soon will see, the moon is made of gold. Now the stars appear as they do, in heaven they unfold. Don't feel bad because the sun went down, the moon is made of gold. See how the shadows enhanced by the light of night as the breeze is high, and soon you will be asleep, into your dreams will creep visions of fairies flying through the sky. And one by one your dreams will all come true, magic you'll behold. Don't feel bad because the sun went down, the moon is made of gold.
That's Deanne Matley with The Moon is Made of Gold on The Kelly Alexander Show. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the program this week. We always appreciate your time. A big shout out to our guests, Elijah Woods, Jamie Fine, and Deanne Matley. Of course, thank you so much to our producer, Adam Breesaw. And we'd love for you to follow us on all of our social media by jumping onto our website, kellyalexandershow.com. Have an excellent week. You and I'll chat soon.